Carolyn.
And I'm Bethany.
And we are
Sisters in Song.
On this episode, we're chatting with Angie Kay about her upcoming fifth album and so much more.
Fun fact about Angie, she's also learning how to pilot a plane and works as a car mechanic on the side.
Here's a little more about Angie. With 35 million global streams and a rapidly expanding international fan base, Angie Kay kicks off the next era, the release of her electrifying single, Sweatin', which was released in March of this year. The high-energy track continues to roll out of her forthcoming fifth studio album, Whiskey and Hemingway, and signals a bold, confident evolution in both sound and stage presence.
Following the breakout success of her last single, Low Key Love Song, Angie Kay is continuing into 2026 with undeniable momentum. The heartfelt anthem earned widespread critical acclaim and major media support. The single further cemented Angie's role as one of country music's most compelling multicultural voices, continuing her mission to expand representation within the genre.
Hey musicians, are you looking for quality live show photos to highlight your work? Look no further than Summer Lee. Summer specializes in concert photography and she's booking now in the Chicago and Nashville areas. She also travels and is tour ready. Find her on Instagram at summerlee.photo or Facebook at summerleephoto. Hit her up on DM for rates and availability. Summer shot for us at Americana Fest last September and we can guarantee that she is the real deal and a true professional.
Welcome to Sisters in Song. Can you take a minute to tell us who you are and where you're coming to us from?
My name is Angie Kay, and I'm from Nashville, Tennessee.
Yay!
Hey, the Music City.
I always have to ask: are you a native Nashville person, or are you a transplant?
No, definitely a transplant. I actually was born in a country called El Salvador. I moved to the States when I was 11, but mostly Georgia is where I grew up.
Oh, awesome! Oh, okay. Cool. Very cool.
Awesome. And how long have you been in Nashville?
Like with an address in Nashville, probably like, I want to say 8 years, something like that.
So that seems native.
Good. Yeah. Good chunk of time.
So we'll just get started. Tell us how you got started in a career as a musician.
Yeah, no, I just kind of always loved music. And, I remember asking my mom for my first guitar around 13 years old and I kind of never looked back.
Are you self-taught on the guitar?
You know, self-taught's such kind of like a silly name now that we have YouTube and all those things. Cause it's like, I had so many resources. I mean, I remember YouTube was just starting when I was, I don't know, I guess junior in high school or so, sophomore in high school, something like that. And so I remember like it just being like this whole other world where you could like pretty much learn anything. And so I learned from a lot of great people that taught a lot of stuff online. Yeah.
Yeah,
awesome. Yeah, you kind of find it too. Yeah,
you can kind of find anything on YouTube.
Yeah, I agree completely.
That fix the sink. Look at YouTube. Yeah, learn guitar. Look at you.
Yep, absolutely.
What do you think is the hardest part about your career as a musician?
I think it's you kind of have to have a little bit of a reckless belief that things will work out as a creative because, like, you kind of go through these periods where you just want to spend the money because you want to make the thing, you know, and it's impossible to know if it's a good decision. In fact, on paper, it most assuredly does not look like a good idea, but you're so driven to make the thing that you have to just believe so deeply that it will all work out. And I'm really, really grateful. This is my fifth record. There's a lot of moments where I was like, I don't know if I could do this again. You know, it's probably the same as a marathon runner, you know, like you're doing it and you're like, you've no doubt asked yourself, like, why am I doing this? I don't feel healthy right now. But you do it and then you look back and you're proud of yourself because you just get a little bit better with every step. And the joy is in the creating something new with a new tool in your tool bag. Like every record, I learned so much more about music and creating and I kind of get to approach it in a different way every day, you know?
So I'm going to ask a little bit about songwriting. How do you see a song from start to finish? Is it melody first? Is it lyrics first? Or how does that process work for you?
Yeah, I mean, as a pro songwriter, you pretty much just do it every way possible. But I would say to do it consistently, most people's process, including mine, is I have a running massive doc on my phone or, you know, note, and it has like every title and idea that I have. And I usually kind of start with that, see how, and sometimes the thought is so wildly different than how it turns out. You know, you start over here and then, but it sparks something and you all walk down that road together. But yeah, I think at the beginning, when you first start writing music, you write by yourself and then you kind of end up in situations. And I think that's what makes or breaks a lot of people, because to do this consistently, it is, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's extremely difficult to create innovatively all the time in a way that's interesting to you, alone. So like, I think that's a huge, breaking point for whether people will be in the industry forever or whether they'll be in there for a season. And I think like for me, when I came to Nashville, it's uncomfortable at first learning to write with other people. It's hard to be vulnerable and to, you walk into those rooms and you leave the ego at the door and you're not afraid to say a bad idea. Cause like I said, it might walk people down a different path. So like, I think the process is letting go of the ego. It's chasing the song, not necessarily a hit, because nobody knows what a hit is, but it's fun to say like, oh, this is gonna be a smash in the room. You know, I've said that many times, but like, I think you chase what feels good. And the second you stop chasing what feels good is when nobody wants you in the room in the first place.
I really like the way that you put that perspective as the process, not just like, I write some lyrics, I do some, you know, so I think that that will be very informative for our listeners to, you know, say, oh yeah, you know, the process is, we work towards the song, not so much like letting it own you.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that. Cool. What do you do if you get writer's block?
If I get writer's block, there's a really famous book called The Artist's Way. Have you ever heard of it?
Yep.
So I'd heard of it. Everybody's heard about it in town if you stayed here long enough. And I kind of roll my eyes about it, but it's, you don't really need to read the book, but basically it has two really important things to do for 12 weeks. You kind of make a commitment for 12 weeks. One of them is journaling every day, which is stream of consciousness. So you don't have to like write anything eloquent. Just like if you write like, I hate this, write it 20 times until you have another thought. And it's really nice because the way I describe it is like, it's almost like it removes the clutter from our brains so we can have longer thoughts. Because clutter is kind of this thing that like, it's like trying to walk through a room and things that your attention's constantly everywhere because these things are falling on you and you're whatever, you know? And you're kind of just putting everything in its place because you're acknowledging it. Okay, that's there. That's happening. I should have gone to the gym today. You wrote it down. I acknowledged it. I happened. It's there, yeah. You know? And then you're suddenly able to like notice, oh my God, the sunrise is the most beautiful pink today. And then be like, I don't know, pink sunrise would be such a cool name. I'm going to write that in my notes. And like, I feel like that's really helped. And then the second thing that The Artist's Way talks about is once a week, you have to take yourself on an artist date. And I think this is so important, especially for like anyone. I'm not a mom, but like I think all the time about my creative friends that are moms. Like that is an order of magnitude more difficult. Not impossible and also beautiful in a lot of ways. But there's a challenge there because you're constantly thinking about the needs of a lot of people. And you get joy from serving those people. So you are feeling fulfilled. But at the same time, what's shocking is how many moms can't answer the question. You can't take anyone with you. You have the day off. You can do anything. What do you want to do? What would make you happy? And like, it can't be for your kid. It can't be going somewhere for your husband. It can't be what, you know? And it's shocking to me how many people, especially women, just cannot answer that question.
Yep.
And I kind of shocked myself that I couldn't really answer that. I was like, what is it that I would do outside of, because I mean, my first thing is I just want to tinker on the guitar. But like, outside of music, what would I do if I had the day off? And I worked on cars before I played music full time. So I kind of like, I've always loved, had a fascination with airplanes. And that's how I kind of got into slowly but surely working on my pilot's license. And that's brought me a lot of joy and a lot of perspective and allowed me to go back into the industry with a lot more, I don't know, lightness than thinking this is everything, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome.
That is awesome. And, you know, we've tried to start that book a few times,
yep,
and have struggled with it. And that might be what the problem is we're struggling with that artist date. But I kind of get into the point where I write a bunch and then I go, I don't need to write today, which I need to kick myself in the pants and actually do it.
Yep. Well, I think what I'm learning about habits is you have to find a way to like look forward to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I remember I can't remember what book I was reading, or maybe it was like a speech or something that I heard on YouTube, but it was like, if you really want to build a habit, you have to figure out a way to want to do that thing. And I was like, for example, going to the gym in the morning, for me, I love, like I would start an audiobook of a fiction book, which I don't read a lot of fiction, but I would start one, the day before, maybe trying to like go to sleep or something, and like listen to it for a little bit. And then I can't listen to it again except for at the gym. So, like I can't finish. So, like, or if it's your favorite TV show, I can't watch it unless I go to the gym. So then I found myself actually being excited to get in the car so I could just turn on the audiobook and find out what happened next, And that was really good for me. But it's like I think if I could tell like my younger self some advice that I absolutely would not have heard, it would be that like you don't have to work hard. You just have to find a way to enjoy what it is you're doing. And it's
Yeah,
like
yeah.
you can do that, but as long as you're not even thinking about like people don't even think about that as a puzzle to solve. They just think like, "Oh, I'm supposed to work hard. I'm supposed to be miserable. I'm supposed to be whatever." And it's like, "No, it's not. It's not supposed to be any of those things." Like,
Yep.
we're not in a third world country where we're like that worried about what we're able to eat. Like, I remember only having $20 to eat off the week, and I could like you can buy potatoes. You can buy, one thing of ground meat. There's things you could. Aldi is a great place, And it's like, if you find a way, like, how do I enjoy the fact that I can't go out to eat, but I'm gonna really enjoy the fact that I'm gonna learn like one new recipe, or if I can buy one new spice every week. It doesn't matter what it is. But I found the happiest people that I've met, it has nothing to do with money. It's how good they are at doing that,
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, that's
Yeah, a great
it
outlook.
is.
I love that.
We have to take a minute to thank our sponsor, Brought Farm Designs. Brought Farm Designs offers the most adorable, handmade, washable, durable cat and dog bandanas and collar scrunchies. Our dogs look absolutely ravishing in theirs. Don't you want your dogs and cats to look as cool as ours? The coolest thing is that they hook onto the collar so you don't have to worry about them falling off or worry about them ending up in someone's mouth. They are perfect and they are adorable. Did I say they're adorable? Go to BF Designs 7, that's BF DESIGNS 7 on Instagram and send them a message and save 10% off your first order with the code Sisters in Song. Our dogs wholeheartedly approve.
So, how do you think a song, or when do you feel like a song is truly finished?
When I don't want to work on it anymore.
I love
That's the
it.
truth.
Yeah.
If
Yeah.
I still feel like, oh, I can't wait to X, Y, and Z, it's not done. But half the time I do that thing and I'm like, ah, it was better before. But also I'm really big about giving myself deadlines when I start a project. And I get excited about the deadlines too. Does that make sense? As much as I get
Yes,
excited to create
yeah.
projects. So there's never been a single album that I've released where I've loved every song on it. Ever. But you gotta remember that you're collaborating with other people. And like, for example, on the not this album, but the album I did last, Stephanie Smith was the producer on it, who's like been a massive mentor to me. She was a BMI Songwriter of the Year. She was out in the 90s. She's just this badass woman. And I loved the demo to this one song so much, but it was a little too pop leaning. And she was like, no, we can make this. We can make this fit the record with real players and thinking about the arrangement. I was like, okay, cool. And it just, to me, feels like a C level of what that demo was. And she knows it. Like, we talked about it, and I'm like, but there's no way to fix it, right? And like, so many people loved that version of it. So I'm not gonna throw away thousands of dollars of a song just because it wasn't exactly what I wanted, because it'll teach me something about myself. Like, sometimes the things that, like, Red Dirt on Mars, I thought was boring song. I thought nobody would want that. I don't think there's a single more respected compliment I get than on that song, because it's always from songwriters that I respect that come up and like, that song, man, you're so known by that song. And I'm like, that song, really? So it's like sometimes you gotta ha creative life is learning to let go of the things you create. And the more you learn to let go, the more you know that there'll be another one. And you can always create more. And I think what's scary about that is when you start to see success, there's a very easy trap to fall into that's like, if I didn't get credit on this one song and I did all this stuff, and it's happened, like people get screwed over all the time in this industry, kind of not necessarily on purpose, but because everybody thinks like, I'm not gonna say anything, or I'm not, whatever it is. And it's like, I've seen it happen to my friends, and I just see them just completely deflate, and understandably so. But also, like, imagine if you really believed you're about to write a song that'll make you three times as much. You just gotta show up for work tomorrow. And you gotta believe that. And that's what you asked, what the hardest thing about being a creative, being a songwriter, being a musician, an artist, believing. And I'm telling you, like, if I have one message for anyone out there, I'm not signed to a label. I've been independent. This is my fifth record. I have a house. I have a good life. I have my dream car, which is a 2010 4Runner that I absolutely adore. Like, I have a dog. I have a wife. I can pay my bills. It is possible to build a life for yourself that is not contingent on anyone else saying you can have this. And like, if I didn't believe that at any point, I wouldn't be here, you know?
Yeah, that just
I
made me
got
feel
me too. I
so.
was like, yay. I was so happy. So thinking of projects and deadlines, tell us about the new album.
Thank you. That's a great leeway there. Yeah, I just released the third single of the album. It's called Contigo. It's actually my favorite just because I can't listen to it and not smile. You know how, like, when you look at someone smiling, you can't not smile, you know? I feel like for me, I can feel all of our smiles in the studio making that song. And it just feels light and good, and it feels like the turn of the road from the last record, which was me releasing a lot of things. And then this one was me like playing with music again, you know, like really just playing. And that song kind of really encapsulates that feeling for me. So I'm excited about this song. I think this is crazy, but I think I might take it to radio, which is pretty wild. I've never done that before. But I was thinking about it, if I hit top 40 with this song, which really isn't that crazy, then I'm pretty sure it'd be the first independent bilingual country song on the charts, which would be really cool to have that title, you know? And it's
Absolutely.
like, yeah, you know,
Totally.
like, so I'm thinking about doing that. And then the album will come out June 26th. So I always say, like, the last two singles are the most important to choose, because those singles are the ones that you get to push all the way till the next record, you know? So I kind of think of it like that. So Contigo is one of my favorites. And then I have a focus track of the album called We Won't Go, which is like almost a little Irish inspired, honestly. And just kind of like almost like a chanty, fun, wild song. But I think Contigo might be the one that I kind of lay into all the way till the next record.
Awesome.
Yay.
So this is my own ignorance. Is there always like a set number of singles that you put out with an album, or is there, do you decide that yourself as an artist, or how does that?
Well, I think everybody's process is different, but for me, I pretty much just choose my favorites, and a lot of my favorites change when I play them live. So
I'll bet.
sometimes, because sometimes you write a song and you're like, this is the best thing I've ever written. And then you play it live and it just doesn't feel like it opens your heart up. And then all of a sudden you'd play something like a song that I wrote almost like just for fun, like as a throwaway, country is as country does. I wrote it with somebody from Germany, someone from Kentucky, and we were just talking about things that we loved, and the whole song's like country is as country does, you know? It's like a really fun, tongue-in-cheek, fun song. And I love playing that live, and I would have never thought that that would be one I like. No, I gotta put that one in the set. I do, like, I always do like a mashup of all my whatever country songs or I'm feeling, because it's a 1-6-4-5 progression, so that's like every country song ever, so it's really fun. I really enjoy I enjoy throwing that in the set. But it's like you gotta I'm a live musician, so my process really leans heavily on what I want to play for my people, you know?
Yes. Are you touring the album or starting to tour before the album?
Oh man, as an indie artist, you never stop. You're always playing. I'm New York City tomorrow, and CMA Fest is going to be a really cool set. I am really excited about the CMA Fest show, though. I'm playing the Dr. Pepper Amp stage. It's a pretty big stage. And here's the coolest part. I'm playing after my favorite human being on earth, Melissa Etheridge, who I love. Which, by the way,
Sorry.
I got to open for her at the Ryman, which was insane, like years ago.
Oh, so cool.
But I'm so excited. But then it made me really nervous because I'm doing something I've never done before at the CMA Fest show. Actually, I did it once at Boots in the Park, but I only looped two songs. I have been experimenting with a looper, kind of like Ed
Fun.
Sheeran style.
Yeah.
And it's so fun because you're basically producing a song as you go, but you have to do it quickly. Because to me, I'm like I said, I'm an entertainer. So like if it takes me like 30 to 40 seconds to create the loop, I'm not interested, you know? So like I
Yeah.
have to kind of get these parts down really fast, think about creative rhythms, creative licks, and then my music theory is so intense because it's like, well, what can I play that sits in all these chords that can always that feels good and a good layer that I can bring in and out that like lifts it at this part of the sound, and also like what parts in the mid range that can I? It gets like so much more thinking, and arranging and everything. But on this next one, I'm looping four songs on it, and they're all like pretty complex. So like I have to get everything right when I do it, and it's a lot of little tap dancing. But I'm actually wearing a headset, so I can really move around when I do it. So I have like my looping mic, and then that, and then it's just gonna be like a party. I'm so excited.
Oh my God,
it sounds like so. I wish
so
we were
much
gonna be
fun.
there.
Yes,
yes,
so
absolutely.
Fun. Very, very cool.
Hey, listeners, Sisters in Song is brought to you by Pink Whisk Confections, our sponsor. Small batch scratch cookies, cheesecakes, and other desserts are available upon request. Custom orders for color and flavor are welcome anytime. Cookies are $15 for a box of 8 cookies and are individually packaged within the box. You can DM at Pink Whisk Confections on Instagram for placing all your orders. Make sure you use the code Sisters in Song Podcast for 5% off your first order. And you can also get these gluten-free. So anybody out there who has a gluten intolerance, you can ask for a special gluten-free order. Go check it out. I'm not kidding you. These are probably the best cookies you'll ever eat.
We're going to do a rapid fire with you. Don't worry. It's not hard. Okay. Coffee or tea?
Ooh. It depends on the time of day because I'm sensitive to caffeine. But I do love a coffee in the morning. A latte, to be specific.
Awesome. Vinyl, cassette, CD, or streaming?
Cassette would be cool, but I haven't played one in a long time. I have gotten into vinyl recently, and I've really enjoyed the process of listening to full LPs.
Yes,
us
awesome.
Too. Yeah.
First album you ever bought?
I think it was in the U.S. I think it was the first album that I was bought for me was probably Britney Spears in El Salvador. Because El Salvador and the Backstreet Boys were really big down there, believe it or not. And then the States, I remember I saved my money. Foo Fighters CD.
Very
I
cool.
To it. I had a little CD player, and I listened because I have four sisters, and we were going down to the beach. And I went into Walmart, and I was like, I had like $20 or something. I'm like, I'm going to buy something cool. And I like, the artwork looked really cool, and I was like, Foo Fighters, yeah. And I was in a little bit of an emo era, thinking I was like so cool. And I like bought this record, and I'm like, oh, yeah, rock music. And I mean, up until that point, all I listened to was pop. So, like, I was like, that's crazy. And I loved that record so much. So much drop D tuning, so many open chords, such great rhythm. I mean, Dave Grohl, like, freaking icon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that record, that was a double CD record.
Worth the buy. Worth the buy.
That's right.
Do you have a go-to karaoke song?
I should actually. You want to hear something really embarrassing? Is I had some friends in town, and we went over to like. There's a hotel here. God, is this the Graduate? I think yeah, it is the Graduate. In the bottom level, there is a Country Bears thing. Have you ever been to Disney World? You know they have the Country
yeah.
Bears.
Yeah,
it looks
yeah.
Like that in there. There's just like these bears on stage, and they're like animatronic, and they dance and stuff, and they do karaoke there. And I'm like,
oh,
what
funny.
Is this place? And there was maybe six people in there. And when I was young. My audition song for this random audition, I don't even remember what it was for. It was Listen by Beyonce from that, Listen to the Song,
yeah.
Mean Girls. And I had like one of those little audition books that had the CD with it, so you couldn't like change the key or anything. And when I tell you that audition was like one of the most traumatic events in my life, it was so bad. Like, I don't think I could have done a worse job because it started out well because I sing low, but then Beyonce like just goes to like the freaking sky with it. Like, I mean, just... I could not reach any of those notes. Anyway, I don't know what I was thinking. It's like, did I not sing it before? And so I was like, I'm going to redeem myself this karaoke session. I'm going to sing this again. And let me tell you, it did not go any better. But I was there with friends. The six people that were in there were like so for me. Like they were like, you got this. Like none of them knew. None of them knew I do this for a living. But other than my friends, which we were laughing so freaking hard. But yeah, so my advice for anyone in karaoke is just like let Beyonce
do her thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Do you like to write at night or in the morning?
I like to produce at night And I like to write in the morning, like not morning, like 10 o'clock is good because then I can get some time to go to the gym and like really think about what I'm gonna write. And then the drive over there, I enjoy the process. So like really early won't work well because I'll be still waking up, but I feel like 10 o'clock is great.
Perfect. Do you write lyrics on paper, phone notes, or voice memos?
I've been mostly using my computer lately, but when it comes to titles and so it's all on voice, it's on voice notes in my and on my notes on my phone is where all my ideas get written down.
Do you have a pre-show pump-up song?
You know, this man, I got slammed for this. I was at this is the hard thing about being in Nashville so long is all your friends are like in high up places now, but we all like still treat each other the same. And I was at the CMA Award red carpet, and a good friend of mine, Rod, is one of the interviewers. And he like stops me like, Angie, come on, let me ask you a question. I was like, what's up, Rob? Like, and he's like, all right, what you been jamming to lately? Like, what stoked like brought up the energy before you came out here tonight? And he's like a good friend of mine, so I don't even think twice. I just tell him exactly what I was listening to, which happened to be Try Everything on the Zootopia soundtrack. And I'm like, all the comments were like, what?
I love
But
the
I
song.
stand by it. I stand by it. I love that song. If I'm like really tired in the car and I got a little bit further to go, that's my song.
Perfect. That is
You
perfect.
know what? It's honest. So whatever.
Yep. Dog, cat, fish, or bird?
Dog. Who says bird?
No, sometimes I throw in reptiles, but no one ever says
Oh,
that.
have you interviewed Ally Colleen?
No, not yet.
She would say reptile for
She
sure.
was, all right. Okay, describe your sound in three words.
Fun, what's the word, like introspective and this is a weird word, communal, I guess, like it feels community driven.
What advice would you give to new musicians and or songwriters?
That you don't have to earn it. You're a good, you're just as good. Like there's people that can barely play a G chord that are raking in the money. There's people that can't write a song that are doing a great job. The point isn't earning it, it's enjoying the journey. Like you've already earned it. Like go learn whatever excites you and get better at that thing, not because you have to, because it's fun, you know?
Yay. Love it. Great advice. We'd love to have you share a song. Can you tell us what the song is and a little bit about it?
Yeah, no, I would love you if you shared my favorite on the record, Contigo, which is really fun, which I'll teach you a little bit. There's only one line in Spanish. It feels like it's a really bilingual song. There's just one line, and it translates itself right afterwards. So if you want to learn a little Spanish, I'm saying solo quiero estar contigo. So I just want to be with you. So if you want to
Awesome.
sing along, you got it now.
Almost understood it.
Me too. You got to S star, and I was like, I can't remember what that
Could
means.
be. That could be. That's awesome. Yay. Thank you for sharing it.
Very cool.
Back of the Broncos loaded up, it's all blue skies. We could be wheels up on a runway, touchdown by five. Trading our 2 week paychecks, pick a spot on the map. Who needs a night at the Ritz when we could have a beachside shack? You're crashing into me like the waves on a Cancun coast. Hands are off the wheel, baby, take control. Solo quiero estar contigo. I just wanna be with you. Pick out a place in Google, Tennessee to Timbuktu. Solo quiero estar contigo. Start a little something new. We can take it fast or real slow. Stop and taking the view. 'Cause I just wanna be with you. I just wanna be with you. Look at you bare feet in the salt air, sipping rum on the rocks. Suntan bikini and wild hair, now you're taking it off. Now I'm skinny dipping, wishing on a star. Baby, show me more of who you are. Solo quiero estar contigo. I just wanna be with you. Pick out a place in Google, Tennessee to Timbuktu. Solo I just wanna be with you. Pick out a place and we'll go Tennessee, Timbuktu. So I can start up on the floor. I just wanna be with you. Pick out a place and we'll go Tennessee, Timbuktu. So I can start up on the floor. Start a little something new. We can take it fast and real slow. Stop and take in the view. Cause I just wanna be with you.
Shameless plug. Where can we find your music, your website, your if you have Bandcamp or Patreon or any of that, and your social media?
Yeah, you can find me literally everywhere at Official Angie and the letter K. Official Angie K.
Very awesome. Thank you so very much for taking the time to meet with us. This has been fantastic. I've learned a lot today.
I have too.
No, this is really fun. I enjoyed talking to you guys.
What a treat that we got to talk with Angie about her album, but also about her brand new single, Contigo.
Yes, thank you so much for sharing it with us. Super cool. And I actually understood what she said, the Spanish.
I need a lot of practice.
I also need a lot of practice, but it was really fun to chat with her. She seems very down to earth, has a great outlook on things. And I loved hearing her advice to people.
Yes,
and just
me too.
How she is introspective about her work.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you again, Angie.
We can't wait for the album, and we hope to see you down the road. Thanks for listening to Sisters in Song. Follow us on all social media platforms at Sisters in Song Podcast, and follow us wherever you stream your podcasts. If you like our show, please like and follow us on all of your social media. Please feel free to share.